This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shaoyi. Now, for all children, not just in Malaysia, but everywhere around the world, this past year and, plus a few more months has probably disrupted normal learning and development. But more so, I think you will see the impact in preschool age children, which is, considered to be the formative period of their learning and development. Now, recent research from the UK has shown that lockdowns due to the pandemic have had an impact on young children's language skills in schools over there in the UK. So what I'd like to find out today is, is this happening among children in Malaysia as well? What red flags should parents look out for and what can they do? More importantly, as the pandemic seems to be stretching on, we are still currently in the full MCO 3.0. We don't have any idea yet when it will end. So parents need some guidance. So my guest today, in for her regular monthly show, well, not in, on Zoom, is Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and joining us today as well, speech-language therapist, Dr. Ethan Vong. How are the two of you today?
Fine, thanks, Sharik.
All right. And yes. If you have any questions for Dr. Rajini or Dr. Ethan, you can call 03773 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Dr. Rajini, when we were just sort of discussing the idea of looking at this topic, you did say that you have seen an increase in children with particular challenges related to what we're going to be discussing. So could you elaborate on that a little bit? What have you been seeing?
In the last, I would say, 8 to 9 months or so, we've had a lot more calls from younger children, parents of younger children. So I'm talking about children who are under two. Around about the 18-month mark is often where we seem to be getting more calls about concerns about their child's communication skills. And, when comparing it to back in 2019, we are actually seeing close to 75% more of this age group actually calling up for appointments. It sort of concerned me a bit. And, I think the other thing that we've also noticed is, especially when schools reopened around the March time, we were also getting, again, more referrals from preschools that we work with and, concerns about children's language skills, behavior. And so it's also interesting that, I came across the BBC article about the concerns that they seem to voice out there. And not very surprising, actually, that we are seeing some of these, we are seeing an increase in children with language difficulties, especially in the younger age group.
And Dr. Ethan, what are you seeing as well in your work?
I actually agree with Dr. Rangini that I'm seeing the younger ones since the beginning of the year. And that hasn't been quite the trend in 2019 and even early 2020. There wasn't such a trend at that moment. But this year, I started to get a lot of younger ones as well. But I also get a lot who are in the later preschool age, like 5 to 6 years old, and they are maybe they are already at risk. They are already delayed in speech and language, but I started to see like really severe ones as well.
All right. Dr. Rajini, Dr. Rajini, yeah. What do you mean by communication skills? What kinds of challenges exactly are these parents concerned about?
So many come because their children haven't started actually saying words. But quite often when I see children who haven't started to say words, That doesn't concern me so much. There have been parents who've actually presented with the fact that their children are having really very intense temper tantrums, possibly as because they're not able to express themselves, or children who are not very responsive. So when their parents call out their names, or try to initiate communication with them, try to play with them, they're not getting that that two-way communication that happens. So when we talk about communication, we're not just talking about speech. We're talking about that social communication, that back and forth that we get with children, even though they can't talk. So really quite a range really of communication difficulties that we are starting to see in the, so I'm talking more specifically about the children under two, who are presenting.
And I guess that is the age where it will be very apparent when the kids aren't able to do that, because you would typically, that's a huge milestone for kids of that age to be reaching, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely in terms of being able to respond to your name, kids should be doing that at around 1 year. And so if they're not doing that at 18 months, that's a definite delay in that particular skill. But when we talk about communication, what I'm trying to get across, I think, is that we're not just talking about speech, words. We're talking about the other ways that children communicate and the other ways that children respond to our communication intent. So like when we approach children, we call them, we want to show them things, like look at that cat walking across the street sort of thing. We point things out to them. Usually children would respond to that. You know, they would look at the direction in which you're looking, even though you don't point. Or if you give out an exclamation, they would respond to that. So what we're seeing is many of these children are not even responding to those communication intents.
And Dr. Etten, for the 5 to 6 year olds, I suppose their challenges might be different for the 18 month to 2 year olds?
Oh, yes, definitely. 5 to 6 years old, we're expecting them to make friends already, definitely. Even 4 years old, when they start preschool, we're expecting them to actually start to make friends already. They're able to come back home and tell mommy what happened in school. They're able to answer questions. And these are some of the things, the deficits that sometimes we see, starting to see more in this group of children as well. They can't tell a story. They can't tell you and what happened in school. And they are a bit reluctant to actually voice out their needs as well. And if they are still at this age range, if they still can't even communicate their basic needs, and that would be a huge issue. And when I talk about basic needs, it would be like requesting for things, telling people what I like and I don't like, and telling a teacher, my friend has took my thing, you know, things like that, because they are in preschool at this age, 4 to 6, right? So they need to have communication skill to be able to tell these things at this point. So if they are not at this point yet, then that's already a huge red flag.
Are you seeing any of them who had been making progress but regressed during this pandemic?
I don't see a lot of regress, but I see a lot of plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of those who are stuck. Like they have made a little bit of progress, but they are stuck. They have plateaued.
And these are kids whom you were working with because of certain speech and language or communication issues?
Yes, I do. I do see that. Because I think because of the MCO as well, some of them have stopped coming for therapy as well. So because of that, there is a plateau, or sometimes they are stuck. They are stuck in where they are because they are not pushing forward and moving forward towards larger development in which you are supposed to acquire along the way.
So, Dr. Rajini, what's happening, right? Because on the surface, you may think, what exactly are kids going through during this lockdown that would be so dramatic in leading to these issues?
I think we have. Do we have two issues here? We have, so we talk about the children who basically are around that 18 month mark, 18 month to 2 year mark. For majority of those children, for those children who are below two, majority of their life has been spent during the pandemic. So we call them the pandemic babies, essentially, because essentially, if you look at it, if you talk about somebody who's 2 years old now, when we, and if they were born in June 2019, we went into lockdown when they were about 9 months old. Now, that's a very critical period of development of language, behavior, self-regulation, and basically all the developmental milestones. Yeah, the first few years of life are crucial and are the most sensitive periods of development. And if you think about these babies, they have been cooped up at home. They have not been going out. And periodically, we've had very strict lockdowns. So if we think back to when we first had that lockdown, we weren't even allowed to go out for exercise. Yeah. Mm. So, and even this current lockdown, I think a lot of us are noticing that families are not taking their children out, even though they are able to go out for exercise. Many of them are taking it literally as keep our kids at home. So periodically we've had mini lockdowns or mini restrictions, and then parents having to work from home. You know, if schools have had cases, daycare have had cases, children have been stuck at home. So when you confine a child to living at home, and if you think about parents who have to work from home, or even if they have to go out, they leave them with people who are literally confined to the home. These children are not getting that stimulation. Nobody's going out and pointing out things like the cat walking across the street, the flowers in the garden across the way, children walking past the houses, going into the playground, going for walks. So many of these under 2-year-olds and under have been living a life that's been confined to the home. And let's face it, a lot of the times parents have to work from home and they have to turn on the screen. Yeah. So that is further causing an issue, because it's again a balance of stimulation. So if you're having a lot more time on the screen versus a lot more time face-to-face social interaction with different stimuli, then you're going to see that it is going to have an impact on a child.
The guilt of the screen babysitter.
I really don't think we should be feeling guilty. I think it's just about the awareness of, okay, if you can, those little moments that you can have, take a break, switch it off, walk to your window, step out of your house, give your child a little bit of fresh air, sunshine, let them see the world move around them. I know I've always come on this show and always stressed about the fact that we shouldn't be giving the screen. I mean, let's be realistic. We're living in a really strange time, and we can use screen to our advantage. You know, instead of putting on a cartoon, why don't we put on family videos that we've taken? You know, put them together to be a short video clip or something like that. So I think it's how we use the screen that.
All right. Okay. Let's go for a quick break. We are discussing how lockdowns have affected children's speech and language skills. And beyond just about speech, about their communication and socializing skills, big part of children's development, especially at the age of below 2 years. I'm speaking to Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Etten Vong, speech language therapist. If you have any questions, any concerns that you're going through with your children, do call us 0377332900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back here on Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyi. Today, I'm speaking to Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, on for her monthly show. And she's joined by Dr. Etten Vong, speech language therapist based in Sarawak. And we're discussing how lockdowns, how this pandemic, but particularly, I think the movement restriction orders have affected children's communication skills, not just their speech and language, not just their ability to, you know, vocalize, but it's about how they respond to others around them, the socialization, behavior, self-regulation, and it has had a tremendous impact, at least from Dr. Rajini and Dr. Etten's observations of the children that they're seeing, especially among the age group of kids below 2 years old, around the 18-month mark. And Dr. Etten, you also said that you're seeing them around 5 to 6 year old. And this is such a crucial age. We're talking about such fundamental, skills, developmental issues, behaviors that really help them as they transition into older age, you know, going to a bigger school, primary school and things like that. Dr. Etten, you know, as a speech language therapist, and you did say that you are working with children who already have a particular challenges or issues. Are there unique problems that the non-typically developing children may be seeing above the typically developing children? You know, what else might they be struggling with, and how has this pandemic in terms of the lockdowns affected your ability to conduct therapy with them?
With these kids, typically, I actually see them in clinic. They're actually struggling because we have to use masks and everything, you know, we have to follow SOPs. It's really out of the norm on how we usually conduct social therapy. And I think they're also quite disrupted in the sense that when they go to school, they have to stay 1 meter apart. They're not supposed to shake hands, and then they cannot hug. So all these are actually influencing how they actually develop their social skills. So definitely it affects how they actually think. How do I say hi? How do I say bye-bye? And with all the masked up face. And they can't see our facial cues as well. So these are definitely affecting them a lot. And sometimes they can't, we are quite muffled as well. So sometimes we have to go in, lean in and talk to them. And because of all this, and yet they're not allowed to come so close to us to show us something and to point something. So all these indirectly or directly are actually affecting how they view communication.
Yeah. Dr. Rajini, what has been your observation as well?
Sorry. So in my clinic practice, I also see that for a lot of children who already have difficulties, that you have to that they're very much, not to say reliant, but they need the input of therapists or just going to school to have that environment in which they get that stimulation that they need. Being confined to the home has meant that they lose that. And so, yeah, we see a plateauing in that sense. And again, you know, the sort of input that we give, so for the older children especially, when they're in school, they're getting a different perspective of how language and communication is happening versus what is happening at home. Now, I think, you know, Dr. Etten has already mentioned how practice has changed how therapists can engage with children, the use of masks, etc. And that's also changed for them in schools. So can you imagine, like, when they go to school in a group setting, a teacher can no longer, physical distancing is one thing, but the teacher has to wear a mask. She sometimes has to, most teachers wear a face shield on top of that. So not only are they losing that, and if you're standing from a distance looking at someone wearing a face shield, you don't even get to see the eyes properly because of the reflection of the plastic, right? So the kids are losing that, as opposed to in therapy where they get maybe within a certain distance of the therapist, they can still look at the therapist's eyes to some extent. But in a classroom setting, those kids are missing out on that as well. Teachers are also now having to distance kids from each other. And I'm trying to give you that picture about how difficult it is for a child who's already having a difficulty to be now having other hurdles being put in place for them to, how difficult it is for them to move on. And what we're also seeing is, as a result, kids are getting frustrated. So they're starting to act out a little bit more in schools, not just at home, in when they go for therapy, because they're not used to these changes. And I think what's worse is we have these starts and stops. And I think that's what's been most frustrating. You know, we had that lockdown, then we went back in July, August, etc. And then in KL, I don't know about Sarawak, Dr. Tin, but back in mid-October last year, after the whole Sabah election, in the Klang Valley, we suddenly saw a surge. And again, we went into a mini lockdown, but it was called CMCO, whatever it is. But but for a period of time, a lot of schools and kindergartens and therapies were also stopped. And then things got better. And then come January, again. And then things got better. And then, you know, they go back in March and April, and again. So I think, you know, if you look at those older children, there's a lot more that they've had to go through. And each time they have to readapt and readapt. So, yeah.
And Dr. Etten, I'm sure it's probably the same for you as well, Dr. Rajini. And you did say, you know, you when schools reopened earlier this year, you were seeing more referrals from preschools. And so schools, preschools are key to be able to pick up children who are struggling. And that's where a lot of referrals come from. So with schools being shut for the most part, Dr. Etten, do you think children are slipping through the cracks because they're just not, you know, we are missing out those opportunities to assess them?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because there are no assessments in school. Even online assessments might not be done correctly because they're still so young. I mean, even attending online classes for kids 4 to 6 years old is a struggle. What more to say, assessing them online. So I think definitely they will slip through the crack. And so I think teachers, when they do go back to school, teachers need to start looking out for red flags and to actually offer more support and to discuss with parents more so that these kids have opportunities to actually get intervention as soon as possible and as much as possible, if possible, because definitely some of them will slip through as well, and without people identifying it correctly.
What are some red flags that both parents and teachers can look out for?
Definitely, I'm not following instructions. Between 4 to 6, they're expected to be able to follow even simple instructions, and even some are more complex instructions. They're able to communicate their basic needs, telling what they want, what they don't want. They're able to comment on simple things. So if they are not able to do all of these, that's already a huge red flag on its own. And if they cry in school and always throw tantrum and doesn't even use gestures to tell what they want, and they're whining all the time, I think that is also a huge red flag to help these children.
Dr. Rajini, anything you might add to that?
Yeah, I think if we're looking at younger children, so I always like to give parents that I see, you know, well, during well children visits, it's like at 12 months old, the red flags are if your child doesn't respond to his name, if your child doesn't wave bye-bye, or imitate some simple gesture like that. If your child isn't starting to establish eye contact with you, to engage in an activity, if your child is not pointing, those are red flags. Remember, red flags are to tell you there's something wrong and you need to do something about it. What was interesting for me recently is when I did see a 14-month-old who couldn't wave bye-bye, I asked the parents, actually, have you really started teaching him to say bye-bye? And then they thought about it and they said, well, we don't actually go anywhere anymore. We don't go to work.
That's true. You know?
And yeah. Makes sense, right? Yeah. You're at home 24/7. When do you teach a child to say bye-bye? When relatives come to visit? Or if you're leaving your child at the babysitter or the grandparents, or, you know, when you're leaving the house to go shopping, you know, so we have to make little conscious efforts like this, like using gestures. When you're confined in a small room, you are less likely to gesture to your child to come here. Like, you know, I'm doing this on Zoom, but nobody can see me, but
yes,
I'm using
Dr. Rajini's waving her hand.
Waving her hand to say, come here. You know, you're less likely to use gestures sometimes when you're in a smaller space and you think people understand your words, but babies don't. Babies rely on nonverbal communication 100%, and they link that to words. So 12 months old, those are the red flags. If your child's not doing any of those at 15 months, go see your pediatrician about it or speak to the clinic kesehatan about it. Don't wait till 18 months and you do the MCHAT screening and you find that you cannot, your child has has missed a lot more milestones. Yeah.
So what is the urgency about meeting these milestones? Won't they just catch up at a later point?
Yes, they can catch up in the first 2 years, but remember that those first 2 years, the brain is forming all these synapses. They forming all these connections, and we don't want to keep saying wait. Yeah, I think it can be as simple as working on little strategies. So, for example, with that family who said that they don't do bye-byes, then I say, okay, make it a point every time you leave the room to say bye to your child, or every time you go to the toilet, you say bye to your child. You know, it's a sort of separation thing. Or go out, step out of your house, watch people go past and say, let's say bye-bye to uncle, let's say bye-bye to auntie. Never mind if they don't respond back to you, but there's always a security guard somewhere along the way who is willing to say bye to a child, but we got to create those opportunities, because the longer a child is neglected, in inverted commas, because of the lack of opportunity, it's harder to develop some of those skills later. It's like teaching me how to play badminton properly now. But if I had learned how to play badminton properly when I was in primary school, it would have been so much easier. Yeah.
Dr. Etten, what are the longer term effects of delays in developing these skills?
It's related to what you asked Dr. Ranjini about the timeline. I think it's important to meet the timeline is also because, like I said, 4 to 6 years old, that's when they start to learn how to read and write. And reading and writing is actually based on a foundation of stable speech and language skills. So if a child is going to school at 4 years old and they're still not speaking or they're delayed, they will actually struggle really, really hard in learning how to read and write because they will not understand what they read. They might just be memorizing something. So if you don't meet the timeline, you will always be catching up or trying to close the gap. And by the time you reach 7 years old and going to primary one or, primary or even year two in international school for some other kids, they will still be struggling with the skills that they're supposed to have acquired when they're 4 years old. So that would actually pose quite a lot of later on academic challenges when they go to formal schooling.
All right. Now we'll go for another quick break. And after we come back, just very briefly, perhaps looking at some challenges that older kids may be facing, we don't want to miss them out as well. What could parents look out for? What can educators do right now during online classes? I know it's a tough call. Everyone's struggling, but perhaps there are things that teachers can guide parents, to help out at home, to provide that support as well. We'll just quickly discuss that when we come back. Any questions for our guests, do call us 0377 332 900, WhatsApp 0187 89 8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're discussing how the pandemic, particularly lockdowns, have affected children's communication skills with Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Ethan Vong, speech language therapist. We'll be right back after the market update, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik, and my guests, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Ethan Vong, speech language therapist. We've been discussing how lockdowns have affected communication skills among children, particularly those 2 years or younger. To some extent, within the 4 to 6 year old age group as well, because these are when you'd see pretty remarkable and significant milestones with regard to communication skills, speech and language, socializing, self-regulation of emotions and behaviors. So restrictions of movement, schools closure, the lack of interactions with others outside the immediate family have had an impact on children. Now, Dr. Rajini, what about older kids though? Primary age, perhaps even teenagers, anything to look out for in these age groups?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in terms, if they've had a good language foundation, if they don't have any delays in their earlier language skills, one of the things that is important in trying to maintain or to improve language skills and build on vocabulary, etc., is actually reading. And sadly, I think in our culture, reading has never been highlighted as something that's so important. Yeah, I mean, gone are the days in primary schools where the teachers do storytelling. You know, I remember in my primary school days, we would love to sit on the tikka, the mat on the floor, and listen to a teacher tell us an old folk's tale, you know, an old tale, in English and in Bahasa, you know, Bawang Merah, Bawang Putih. Yeah. I still remember all the Aesop's fables. That seems to have gone, and there's been so much fixation on
academic skills,
which really sometimes you wonder whether it's really worth what they're learning at all. But again, I'm not an educationist, so, you know, don't quote me on that. But, you know, I think for a lot of our, especially our lower primary school children, they too struggle with online classes. And we know the children in our national schools have really had a rough time with those. International schools, private schools have probably done a little bit of a better job. But, you know, having a child in a classroom for 5 hours is different to having online classes for 5 hours. The younger children are not really able to do that. Even the older children, I'm a mother of a teen, and I know what a struggle it is, even for adults like me, sitting through 2 hours of a webinar is still, you know, it drives you mad. You're looking at other sites. So if you think about the younger kids, we've been so fixated on continuing the worksheets and doing the workbooks. I wish teachers would do things like tell a story online, have a puppet show, make it fun. Let's build on those literacy skills. You can even teach arithmetic in a fun way. And I think I worry that we're going to have a generation who really are going to struggle with language and maybe other things as well, communication. I think reading is something we need to inculcate in our young from the very young
age. Yeah. I mean, for older children, if we're looking at starting it now, might be a bit of a challenge. But Dr. Etten, are you seeing older children with communication challenges as well?
You mean in the older group?
Yeah. So let's say, you know, we've been talking about mostly the preschool age, perhaps transitioning into primary school. But how about beyond those ages?
I don't see many, many school age kids, to be honest, because most of them come to me younger. Most of the younger ones will eventually be in school age. So some of them, they do follow me from preschool until school age. So I see a progression in their skills. But for school age kids, most of the time, they actually struggle with social skills, not much on language and speech anymore, but more on social skills, like how to make friends, how do you deal with certain social situations in school, what do you say when these things happen, and what do you, you know, do in these sort of situations. So it's more on a social skills basis. Back to Dr. Ranjini about the reading, I actually think, I mean, I'm a reader. I actually instill reading skills to my kids really young. I believe that reading has to start from very, very young, like even as a baby, and not start in school age, because to me, it's too late. If you start reading, instilling reading when you're a baby and before they actually are exposed to screen, you will find that the reading habits will stick for quite a long time throughout their entire life. Now, the generation now, is the screen always comes first. So that's quite a struggle, I think, for most parents. So,
Well, I think now with families having to stay at home, this is a good time. This is a great time, isn't it, to start instilling reading and not to rely too much on the screens. So speaking of staying at home, what can parents do at home right now? And what can parents do to support teachers who, you know, I mean, teachers can't do that much through online lessons. So, you know, being able to pick up these communication, you know, the delays and the skills and all that, it has to fall to parents right now. What can parents do at home, Dr. Rajini?
So if we start with the babies and the little toddlers, you know, communicate with them. Use your daily routines. And I always say this to parents, you know, I totally understand you've got to sit in front of the screen for your work all day, but you still have to do things like change a diaper, feed the child. Try and use those opportunities to communicate with the child and avoid any screen to distract a child when you're doing that. You know, sing to them if you have to distract your child. Tell them a story when you're feeding them. Yeah, you can use your fingers to tell a story, to pretend to be puppets, or, you know, bring in one toy to illustrate. Reading's great. And make that a routine, maybe where as a calming activity before sleep time. And don't forget, we can step out of our homes for exercise. And you can let your child see the world around them. Even if it's for a brief half an hour in the evenings, in the mornings, do it. And I think, you know, don't forget that you have to model a lot of gestures, like I'm gesturing right now. You have to model a lot of those actions when you talk. So do a lot of that, exaggerate your tone of voice, you know, to attract your babies to listen to you. So if you look, if you start with that as babies, and if you continue to then you, as you get older, you involve toys, playing together, role playing. And it's not about buying the toys, use what you have at home as well. For the older children, how do parents support teachers? I think it's more important that you not worry about completing worksheets, especially for preschoolers. I'm one who's totally against those. But that you sit with your child, you read a book, you maybe talk to them about pictures that teachers may have sent, or do drawing together. And as you're doing it, you're talking and you're describing to your child. And so use activities to communicate is what I'm saying.
All right. And Dr. Etten, what would you like to see educators do then, teachers during online classes?
Oh, that's a tough question, isn't it? Because yes. My kids school age, and they're also struggling with online, and there's a lot of screen throughout the whole day. And I think educators are trying their really best to engage children, like they give as much as they can. But I think, like what Dr. Ranjini has said, they need to start with not really giving the worksheets and making sure that they complete the worksheets. But I think what they can do is educators need to make sure that parents are really involved as well. And that's tough because, especially for the younger ones, I think parents need to make conscious effort to actually help the children. Because a lot of learning goes into hands-on experiences. Like, you know, if you bake a cake together, you will probably get the language of sequencing much more than if you give a worksheet of first, second, third, and last, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things involve doing it, I think. So especially for the younger ones. So I love how Dr. Ranjini has bring up the routines. I think daily routines are great. Involve kids in everyday routine, even meal times, you know, take away the tab or phone. Most of the time, I mean, nowadays we see a lot of kids with phone on meal times. Mm-hmm. You know, they forget that meal times are actually a great time for conversations. Do you like this one? Do you want more? Is it hot? Is it spicy? So much language involved around meal times, and parents forget about it. Mm-hmm. And bath time as well. You know, you could do water play. Water play is great for kids too. So a lot of things. So teachers, I think, need to try to create activities that involve parents being able to carry out these things at home while trying to embed concepts that they want to the child to actually pick up as well. And reading time is great too. I think teachers also can help by giving parents suggested readings, mm-hmm. like, you know, suggested, because sometimes parents are lost. They don't know what books should I read to my kids, or what's good for this age, or what activities. So I think teachers can actually help by, okay, maybe you can use whatever you have at home, like bottles, and fill it up with beans or rice, and you can make musical instruments out of it. You can even have a little corner of messy area where kids can paint on the wall, and then, you know, step all over, a little corner where they can get dirty, you know, and messy, and not have restrictions that, oh, I cannot do this, it's too dirty, I cannot, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think parents and teachers can collaborate that way, because when they do that, then parents will know, oh, you know, when they play with Play-Doh or when they play with a slime, they'll work on their fine motor skills, you know, which is crucial for their writing skills later on, and carrying pieces and cutting, all these things. So I think it's good for teachers to actually guide parents on what are the suitable activities you can do in a confined space in your own home to actually develop some of the skills that are crucial for these kids.
Absolutely. I mean, really, for parents, we kind of need to overhaul the way we see parenting, the way we view kids' play as well, right? A bit of dirt, I guess, is a good thing. I'm going to go home and throw away those worksheets, Dr. Rajini. But thank you so much to the both of you for, you know, everything that you've shared today. And, you know, speaking of working from home, I guess another thing that a lot of people are struggling with right now is work-related aches and pains. And we have a webinar that's happening tomorrow at 12 noon, where we have consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh, who will be on the webinar to provide some remedies to help you correct your work from home posture and to prevent injuries and pains. So that's happening on Facebook Live. You can hit to BFM's Facebook page for more details. This is a BFM Health and Living webinar that's presented by AIA, enabling healthier, longer, better lives. And I've been speaking today to Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, and Dr. Ethan Vong, speech language therapist. And we've been discussing how lockdowns have affected children's communication skills. Thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.